So if your car doesn't start, that's an opportunity. And to get a visit from an angel. You know, it's wonderful. And you come out, come back over to your car that's running, and the Jeep left, and there's no tire tracks. Oh, that's so good. Praise God. You know, God never leaves a hint. You have to believe him. It's always faith. Faith, faith, faith. Just a little faith. You don't need a lot, you just use what you got. Faith, faith, faith. Amen. Well, praise God. That was an mm-hmm and a you guys gotta help me this morning. I'm telling you something. We got this power here. And let's just start off with our weekly confession. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God. It's God speaking. It's God living in me. It's growing in me. I'm growing in him. We are being engrafted together, infused together with God. That's what his word does. Powerful stuff. Amen. It's God's blessing. Just overtaking me. You know, it says in Galatians chapter 3, it says that we have been delivered. We have been redeemed, bought from. The curse of the law, it says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law because Christ became that curse for us as our substitute. That means you don't have to reap anything of that curse. Even if you sowed it yourself, you sinned, you failed, and you don't have to reap that. Jesus already reaped it for you. He was there before you sinned. Say, well, does he cover all of my sins, my past, present, and future sins? That's a stretch, isn't it? No, because all of your sins were future sins when he died. When you receive him, you receive a complete, full package of redemption and benefits. Just lie back in your kind of easy chair. Doesn't he say, I'll give you rest? Well, take it. What was that? Is that good? I bind interference. Oh, praise God. God's word. God's word. God's word. God's word. God's word. You know, really, you know, hearing and doing the word is God's formula for success. We're talking today, we're wrapping up our series today of divine keys to good success. Supernatural keys. These are not natural keys. This, you can't put this in a hotel door. You can't put it in a, it's not a natural key. These are spiritual keys that unlock the power of God, the kingdom powers of God, the forces of life and blessing and light and understanding and wisdom and knowledge of God and all the things that are invest into his word. When you receive that word, are released when you start to do the word. You know, faith comes by hearing the word, right? And you know what happens when you do the word? Revelation comes when you start to do it. You guys there? That's good. I couldn't hear you. Now, and turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, and that's where the text for this whole series came from. And God gave specific directions to Israel through Joshua concerning what they were about to do. They were about to go in and finally possess the promised land after being out in the wilderness for 40 years, not because of God. That was an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, but they turned it into 40 years because they would not do what God said to do. 11 days, 40 years, you do the math. Do you want to be stuck going around the same mountain for 40 years? No. Okay. It's just have the faith of God and move that mountain and get into the promises of God. And sometimes the mountain is right here. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong information. So they're about ready to go in, and God is giving them instructions. Now, you would think that when you're going in to conquer a nation, that God would give you a strategy, a battle strategy. You think that he would give you some kind of, you know, help you with your battle tactics to make you sharper in battle. But none of that was in this instruction. He pointed them to his word. And in verse 8, it says this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law, or the word, that's what they call the word of God back in the Old Testament. They called it the law because it's the laws of life and blessing. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Good success. Not just success, good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in day and night. Whatever it is that we do in life, the calling that you have, the hope that you're getting to, whatever it is you do in life begins with the word of God. It is maintained by the word of God, and it will culminate in the fulfillment of the word. If you're doing what the word says to do, the word will be fulfilled in your life. You can have the best business strategy based on what those who have gone before you have succeeded in. You can do all of that. You can do a lot of things that men have already come up with and carved a path for you to go on. But if it's not founded, if it doesn't have a foundation on the word of God, it will eventually putter and go out because it's based on man's limited strength, limited vision, limited understanding, limited ways, and eventually it will fall. Amen? By the way, that's man's religion. It is the Babylonian system that says, we don't want you, God, we'll just take it from here and we'll do our own thing. And that always ends up in confusion, separation, and disorder. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He ended the Sermon on the Mount really in very dramatic fashion. He said, I'm a whosoever. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine, or hears the word of God, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. And then he said, and those who hear these sayings and don't do it, whoever hears these sayings and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains came and the floods came and the winds blew upon it and the house fell and great was the fall of it. That's how he ended the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wanted to demonstrate, look, emphatically, I want you to succeed. I want you to build on my word. I have given you my word. If you build on that, whatever happens, you know, it's not the storm that ruined that other house. The same storm hit both houses, right? It was lack of foundation. It was lack of faith in the word of God, lack of application of doing the word that put that house over. And it's the same thing with the children of Israel that kept them out there. They looked at the giants and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. That's what kept the grasshoppers is what kept them out. Thank you for that thunderous silence. It was the grasshoppers, their own, how they saw themselves. You know, your identity is in Christ. You have a new identity. When you meditate on the Word of God, you will find out that identity. It'll be revealed to you. And you'll start declaring who you are, what you have, all you can do in Christ, and where you are seated in Christ, raised up together with Him. Amen. Read this. This is Bible. This is in Ephesians. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul. Let me say this about the Apostle Paul. He has been undermined by a lot of the liberal church as somebody who is I'm telling you, Jesus said at the Last Supper, He said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. The letters of the Apostle Paul are the thoughts that Jesus carried away from the world unuttered. And they were saved and reserved for the Apostle Paul to give them to the church. Amen. You got to understand, this is powerful stuff. When Paul wrote these letters, he didn't know these were going to be canonized as the Word of God. There are a lot of, I was on the phone with my cousin Jeff earlier this week. And he was sharing with me things that are going on in his church. And they're all turned on, they're on fire for God. By the way, Jeff was... I remember visiting Jeff in the hospital when he overdosed on drugs. He was a mess. His life was an absolute mess. Jesus came into his life. Amen. And changed it. Some years ago, but he's doing really, we were sharing some things. He says, you know what? I had a vision of this and a vision of that. And I said, well, you know something? That's what the people in the Bible had. They had a vision of this. And when they wrote it down, God adopted it and said, that's mine. When you have a vision, don't underestimate it. When you have a vision that comes from God, that is God speaking to you. He speaks in dreams, visions. He speaks in sudden, it's like these impressions that you get. That's God speaking to you. God speaking to you. It's not wise to ignore the counsel of God and the vision of God that He has for you. Because you'll miss it. He does it for your benefit. You know, my mother used to say things to me too. She'd say, you know, I didn't tell you to do that so I could hear myself talk. You ever say that? Parents? Am I just hearing myself talk or are you're listening? You know, hey, come on. Get with my program here, kids. Well, God doesn't just talk just to hear Himself talk. He doesn't talk just for His own benefit. He talks to gift that word to you. In that word is everything you need. Amen. In that word is your healing. He sent His word and healed them. He sent His word and provided for them. He sent His, all of that stuff is in the Word of God, those provisions. This is how you make your way prosperous, and this is how you have good success when you meditate on that and get it into your system. You know what? I know what a steak dinner tastes like. Do you? Nice, juicy. The knife just falls right through you. And then you get a baked potato with butter and sour cream and chives and... steamed vegetables and everything. I know what that tastes like. But it's not doing me any good unless I'm eating it. You know, people, I've asked Christians, have you ever read this scripture? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read that. I know that. What are you doing with it? You know, hear and do. Jesus said, if you hear these sayings and do them, then you'll be building the house on a rock. Nothing will hurt it. You won't have these same things coming against you. You'll have them coming against you, but you will stand. So you can know this is what meditation on the Word of God does. And this series started off with meditation, leading to revelation, leading to declaration, leading to manifestation. So when that meat and those potatoes and those vegetables start getting into your system and making you strong, it's the same thing. You're meditating on the Word day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. You're meditating on this Word. All of a sudden, it gets involved in your business here. And the light goes on. You realize, yeah, I am strong. I'm stronger than that. But you are delivered from that. You can do this. You can do this. You are able. You are equipped. The word is equipping you. And all of a sudden, yeah, I can see. And what are you doing? You're declaring what is possible for you because you're a believer.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, sometimes it just tickles when you got the Word of God working in you. Say this, the Word of God is working mightily in me. He's working mightily in my family. Mightily in my business. Mightily in everything I put my hand to do. The Word is working. And I am making my way prosperous. And I am having good success. It says this in Psalm 119. It says, His word is forever settled in heaven. He didn't, that word settled means established. It's not going anywhere. It's like the Rock of Gibraltar. It's not going anywhere. It's an edifice. His word is established for, and He didn't establish that just for His own good. He did it for your good so that you would have something to depend on, that He never changes it. Once He spoke it, it is not just philosophy, it is spiritual law. And it cannot fail.
Amen.
It's a principle. Gravity is a natural law. Electricity is a natural law. The law of lift and thrust and that the airplanes use, that is a natural law. There are laws of electricity, laws of hydraulics, laws of all these things. Those are natural laws. Well, there are spiritual laws, the law of faith, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it says in Romans 8:1. Then it talks about the law of liberty, which is the law of the word, the principle of the word is made to manifest in our life. And that's what we're talking about today, keys to manifestation or manifestation keys. So we start with meditate. That word is working in you. The word is starting to infuse with you and unlocking. See, the word is, settle this. The word is alive. It is alive and it is pregnant and with power.
Amen.
Let's do this. Let's turn to Hebrews. Chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Boy, this could have taken a lot longer to say that, but those words are powerful. It says, for the word of God is quick. That's an old English word for living. The word of God is alive. It is a living thing and powerful. That word powerful is the Greek word energeis. It's where we get the word energy from. It's like stored energy. It's like kinetic energy. It's energy that's ready to be released. Just like seed, when you put it in soil, that's what releases its power to reproduce itself. Well, this is the kind of energy we're talking about, that it is just ready to explode. Amen? Energeis, good word. And it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You don't know where your soul ends and your spirit picks up, or where your spirit leaves and your soul picks up. You don't know look at the universe. Where does light end and darkness begin? The Word of God separates those things. It's the only thing that has the ability to do it. End of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in what? His. Who his? Who's him? Who his? Who's the him that is his? God, right? Well, who's God? He's talking about in verse 1. The Word is God. The Word was God. The Word always will be God. The Word is God. It says that in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, by Him. This is the second place in the Bible in Hebrews where it talks to the Word about the Word of God as being Him. You see, and He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, when you pick up the Word and you start reading it, you're not alone. You know, there's a person in that Word. His name is Jesus, and He is discerning you. He's looking for a way to help you. He's looking for a way to get in there into you, that you can handle, and getting His blessing and address the needs of your life and straighten out your thinking and renew your mind, renovate it from the old stuff, and get His thoughts, His ways established in your life. He's discerning you, interceding for you at the same time. He and mediating covenant benefits that can benefit you. That's what He's looking for. You cannot meditate on the Word of God without experiencing a presence. And that presence is God. And the more you meditate on it, the more that presence grows. The more that presence begins to what? Manifest to you. The Word of God is living and powerful. It's the only thing that can overpower your will. You know, Rome, the Roman Empire, they had this theory that if they could have their heel on your neck, you'd cry uncle. But they didn't account for the spirit in man. There's a spirit in man. It says in Job, Elihu, he said, there's a spirit of man, and inspiration from the Almighty gives understanding. But they say if they got their head on your neck, they win. But they didn't account for the fact that the guy says, you know, I may be down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And I'm standing up on... Sometimes you have to just stand up to the pressures of this world, knowing who you are. And the more you know who you are, the longer you can stand, the more endurance you'll have, the more patience you'll have until you obtain those things that God, that you've been meditating on. You know, here's another thing too. I've had people say, how long should I meditate on the Word of God in order for these things to happen? Well, there's, I can't tell you how many things are wrong with that question, but God's merciful. And so say that. You know, how long do I have? No, you get to meditate on the Word of God. So your attitude should be one of expectation. Not arduous, wading through this. And da-da. No, no, no. You get to do this. Just think of what would happen, what this world would be like if there never was a Bible. Before Jesus came, the light of this world came. This world was dark. This world was violent. This world was hateful. This world was demonic. The devil had this thing in a chokehold, and he knew how to make every... The devil hates people. I mean, if you look at he's looking for every way he can to destroy, to steal everything from you, to kill you, and to destroy even a memory about you. He hates mankind. It's not you personally. He does nothing personally. He just hates mankind. You know why? Because you're the only one in this universe that we know about that is created in the image of God, who he hates. That's why. And the only way he can get back at God is to hate, is to destroy the things that he loves, and that's you. God loves you. He died for you. Amen. He gave everything for you. He put it all on the line to the point where he was sweating drops of blood in the garden. Because everything that was human about Jesus was resisting that cross and the pain and everything. But everything that was inside him wanted the will of God done, and it was breaking him in two. Do you understand the struggle that he went through? I don't think any of us can. We don't have that capacity. But he did it. And he did it willingly and magnificently and beautifully. But that wasn't the end. You know, the most successful life in the entire history of the world is Jesus. Say, how can that be, man? He was nailed to a cross. Well, that wasn't the end. That was the snapshot from man's view. It was the end. But that was just the beginning for God. That was just the beginning for Jesus. You ought to see him now. Whoa! That's success. Sometimes you have to have a legitimate death in order to have a legitimate resurrection. Bona fide resurrection. Get to my message here in a minute. Well, here's something good for you. The moment Jesus died, God's last will and testament, the Old Testament, every promise in that testament became yours. Amen. Because you are the beneficiaries of the new covenant. Amen. And when he died, Hebrews 9, write this down, talks about the death of the testator. Jesus was the testator. And in order for a will to come alive, the testator must die. Until then, it's just on paper. But when Jesus died, that will came to life. It sprang to life, and it is yours. It belongs to you. But you know, the children of Israel, the promised land belonged to them too. Did you know you can own something and not be in possession of it? Or be dispossessed of it? God said, it's yours. Go get it. And they didn't do it. They were scared. They saw the giants. Grasshoppers kept them out. Now, 40 years later, Joshua sent two spies into Jericho. And they were observed to be going into the house of Rahab the harlot. I don't know why they went there. They probably didn't even know who she was. Why would they? They're not from Jericho. They've been 40 years in the wilderness. But he sent in two. Notice he didn't send in 10 spies or 12 spies. He sent in two spies. And here in Joshua chapter 2, it says the children of Israel have now crossed over the Jordan. They're camped round about Jericho. Jericho is shaking in their boots because we're at least 2 million, possibly 3 million Jews who are licking their chops for the promised land. And Joshua sent two spies. They go into Rahab the harlot, and she hid them because Rahab the harlot knew that Jericho was going over to, it was going to be conquered by Israel, and she wanted favor from them. And so in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, says this. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side in Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. These are powerful, powerful men, powerful kingdoms. Utterly destroyed them. Look at this for a moment. Really get this. See what's going on. See what's in play here. Because it'll bring into the now of things. We don't often see things. The children of Israel, when they went, when they got delivered from Egypt, they crossed that Red Sea, conquered these other guys who came against them, whose land that they were going through to get to the promised land. And did you know they were afraid to go into the promised land? They had the same testimony on them, and it was fresh, and it was new. It was the same testimony. These people were shaking in their boots and they didn't even know it. All the Canaanites, they were shaking and they didn't know. All they had to do is go in. And the giants probably would have just walked away. Even a giant, when he sees 3 million people, are going to say, oh, I think we got to go. I mean, they may be dumb, but they're not stupid. But these people were, they were a godless people. They were idol worshipers, demon-possessed people in the promised land, and God had to just get rid of them. And in fact, there reaches a point in life where you where people who practice evil in evil and evil and evil are given over to corruptness. They are reprobate. That means totally given over to their own devices. God just says, that's it. So these Canaanites must have reached a point where they just gave themselves over. They knew that there was a God, but they didn't choose him. But now, 40 years later, now they're starting to get the picture that these people are fainting within themselves because of Israel. And they could have gone in 40 years and just walked in and taken it. They didn't need any battle strategy. They didn't know how to throw spears and do all that kind of thing. They just had to show up. Well, where were they going into? They were going into where? The promised land? The promised land, right? You see, here, get this picture. The enemies of God's people under the Old Testament represent, and they are a type and shadow of the spiritual enemies that we face under the New Testament, the demons, the demonic forces. Paul says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities, with the forces of darkness. Right? Well, it's the same thing. The promised land represents the promise in the old covenant, represents the promises of God under the new covenant. All of the things that now that says these will be yours if you do this. Now in the New Testament says they're yours now. They're given unto you. You have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. God's done everything he's going to do about the forgiveness of your sins. He's done everything he's going to do about the demonic forces. He's destroyed them. Now he gave you the keys and said, here, you cast them out. You know, we don't set up to have deliverance ministries or anything like that. There's no biblical New Testament foundation for deliverance ministries. None. What they did in the book of Acts and everything, they just preached the gospel. And if something came against them, they just kicked it out. That's it. You're done. And the demons fled. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. It reveals his righteousness. And it's almost like a dare. Dare. Where God says, See, demons, you don't have to be afraid of the demonic realm. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. He's already defeated. He is still shaking with the pounding that Jesus gave him when he rose from the dead. He is still shaking from that. And to him, it's only like 2 days ago. It was like the day before yesterday. Those wounds are new all the time with him. They did not go away. And the demonic realm is in total confusion too. Because that's what means a spoiled principality. And they are resenting Satan. They're in resentment because they followed him, thinking he was going to win everything, and he's totally defeated. He has lost all his power, all of his might, everything. And all he has left is deception. That's why it says, this book of the word shall not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate in day and night, that you observe to do according to everything that is written therein, then you'll have good success. You'll have good success. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We talked about, we're talking about manifestation day, but you got to go back and really renew yourself to the steps getting there. There's meditation, revelation. Revelation gives you the keys, and you can start declaring the word of God. When you do that, the meditation, the revelation, and the declaration works all together, and it starts to manifest the power, the life, the blessing of God, the good success, and the prosperity of the word of God. It's all wrapped up in that word. That's how he gets his life to you. That's how he gets his provision to you. That's how he heals you. It all comes through his word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make that thing explode with the forces of life. Praise God. So we talked about biblical meditation. I know as much emphasis as it puts on the renewing of the mind and mental focus and mental concentration and meditating on the Word of God, that's only one part of it. The major portion of meditating is to say it, mutter it, utter it. Yes, ponder it. Let it fill your thoughts and imaginations and let it do all that. But start to speak it, say it, utter it, mutter it. It's something I said last week. But you utter it, you mutter it, you say it, you speak it. And one of the definitions is to roar. You know, the devil, the devil walks about as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he walks around as a roaring lion to deceive you into thinking that he's stronger than you. But when you start roaring, that's the, you know, Isaiah, in Isaiah 5, I think it is, he talks about a lion ready to pounce his prey. And just before he hits it, wah, he lets go of this roar. And it paralyzes the animal, and they just freeze, and boom, it's done within seconds.
Amen.
Do you know the effect the Word of God has on the devil when you start speaking it? When you start roaring it? When you start roaring it, it becomes louder than your doubter. Hey! It becomes louder than anything, any confusion he throws your way. It starts a... This is how long you meditate on the Word of God till the Word of God starts talking to you. When something comes up and the Word of God stands up and says, nope, nope, we do not receive you. You are darkness, we are light. No fellowship. Goodbye. Turn around, leave. Meditate on the Word till it starts speaking to you, still start talking to you, till it starts to control the narrative, till it starts to return good for evil, truth for lies, love for hate. We don't live in this world. We are not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We don't associate in fellowship with the things of this world. Yeah, there are things that tick me off, you know? There just are. When I see the abuse of power and government, when I see weaponization of things, when I see all of this corruption that's being exposed now, and when we find out for 50 years a guy has been bilking the U.S. population and money for his own, and now... He's so crippled, he can't even put two sentences together. And he's the president.
So sad.
I don't want to say his name, but his initials are Joe Biden. And if you have any salt in the game at all, I mean, if you have any cognizance and awareness about everything, you know you have to know that election was rigged. They say, oh, you can't say that. I just did. And I'm not sorry. Because it's true.
It's true.
It's true. We know that.
Right.
So, but that's what corruption does. It takes your will away. This is what the devil does. He, and I'm comparing this, I'm using it as an example, because this is what the devil does. And he's a nobody, and he has gained this position that he thinks that he is all of that, and he's not. He said, I'm going to be as high as God. And God says, no, you won't. That was it. It was done. That show is over. Praise God. So you need to speak it. The devil doesn't care what you believe as long as you be quiet about it. But the moment you start speaking, it interferes with his plan. And it shuts his roaring up because your roaring is louder. And then all the demons might hear it too. So he wants you to shut up. So he does everything he can to get you to shut up. And it won't work. Not if you keep doing it day and night, night and day. Keep saying it, 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 keep saying it. Keep saying it. And give it the controls. Give his word the control of your mouth.
Amen.
That's how you tame your mouth, your tongue. Praise God. Amen. Listen to this. You know the roar of a lion? Psalm 8, verse 2 says this. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have you ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. You know how Jesus, in Matthew 21, Jesus interpreted this verse? It says this, out of the mouth, he said to the Pharisees, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. Praise is spiritual dynamite. It is spiritual power. It is strength that stills, renders nothing. It paralyzes the devil just like a lion paralyzes its prey just before he pounces on it. Your words are powerful. Your praise is powerful. Out of the mouths of suckling babes, you ordain strength because of your enemies. You have ordained strength. That means perfected praise. Praise! Praise! Come on, guys. Praise! Praise God! It's a roar that the devil doesn't want to hear. Think of the entire population of Israel outside of Jericho that seventh day starting to praise God. The roar of that thing caved in the walls. That was Old Testament. You have more power than that on the inside of you. God didn't live inside of them. Nobody was born again until Jesus rose from the dead. That established a whole new relationship that we have with God based on better promises, a more secure foundation that cannot fail, cannot change, cannot be annulled, cannot be any way diminished, because his word never diminishes. His word never evaporates. It never loses power. It only gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Just like the universe, it's still expanding at the speed of light. It's still exploding. Stars, galaxies, Milky Ways, whatever. I mean, look at this. You have a problem? God makes stars. It's just exploding. Well, blessings explode. Spiritual power and might explode, that you might be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man, that you being rooted and grounded in love might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the depth, the height, the whatever, the far reaches of God. Amen? You had enough of this or you want more?
More, Pastor.
Good, because I got some for you. These are the keys. I'm talking about keys of manifestation. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. I kind of quoted a little bit of this earlier. First John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to call this the process of manifestation. That which was, not came to be, but was. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, who's that? Jesus, with God and the Holy Ghost. That which was from the beginning, which we have, what comes from hearing?
Faith.
Ah, okay. Now we're cooking with on level ground with God. You know, let me put it this way. Christianity is the only faith, it's the only covenant, it's the only thing in the earth that gives man legal approach to a holy God. It's the only one. That which we have heard, these are the things you need to hear. Faith comes by hearing. Which we have seen with our eyes. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 1? So I pray for you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you might know your hope, your inheritance, and the power that's always coming to us. So you see things differently. All of a sudden you say, you know what? I'm not the same that I was. I'm not seeing myself as the same person who couldn't do this and couldn't do that. I'm the person who can do this. I can do this. Why? Because I believe God, and with God all things are possible. And you start, see, it's coming out of your mouth. Yes. You see things differently. You see yourself differently. You see God, and you see the devil differently. And you see sin and righteousness differently once you see the truth, once you have heard from him who is and was and always will be, which we have seen with which we have looked upon. This denotes meditating on the word of God, which we have seen, looked into. You're looking into. Now you're speaking it. You're getting it. Into it's that steak dinner that's becoming a part of you. It's strengthening you. You're feeding upon it, not just looking at it and say, yeah, I know that. No, you're feeding upon it and feeding upon it and feeding upon it. Then what happens is, our hands have what? Manifestation of what? The word of life. He who is the word. The life that is in the Word, in him was life, and the life was light of man, life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness. That is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. That is Jesus. Let me put it this way. These things were once spoken by God so they could be written, so that they could be spoken by you. Now listen, these words came right out of the heart of God. They were written so they could be spoken. The written word of God has a lot of power when you speak it. The same Jesus used this principle against the devil in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. It is written. The word was first spoken by God so it could be written so you could speak it. And when you speak it, I'm telling you something. Get this. The word of God is the word of God no matter who's speaking it. He's responsible for it. Did you get that?
Yes.
The word of God is God's word no matter who is speaking it. That's why a donkey can speak the word of God. You know, Paul said it's the foolishness of preaching. You know, as if we're all that. Gee, you know, it's like it's the word is everything. That when the word comes out of us, the word starts to reproduce itself in other people. You are agreeing with something that is established forever in heaven and cannot be changed. It cannot be uprooted. It cannot dissipate. It cannot evaporate. It is powerful. Build it into your heart. Meditate on it. Let it, listen to it. Listen to yourself saying it. Get that thing going. It's like you are a mechanism that is a manifestation of the creation, the creative genius of God. That's what you are. There's nobody like you in the universe. There is nobody else that we know of in the universe, in all creation, that is able to choose his own words and speak them. For the life was manifested and we saw it. We have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which it meant. Listen, the testimony that God established in Israel when he parted that Red Sea, it was just as vibrant 40 years later that caused the world to fear that God, those people. Never underestimate the testimony that God built in you. Your testimony is powerful. Scott, thank you for that word earlier. God just reminded me. Never underestimate your testimony. The devil may say, well, that's just you. You know how he is. Well, you know, I mean, that's you. I mean, you know, anybody can. He'll start to water it down your mind. Get rid of that thinking, That's when the word starts talking to you, starts addressing that confusion that's coming your way. Never underestimate your testimony. The devil hates your testimony because it is powerful. It's like a roar to him. It paralyzes him. The devil can't do anything about a testimony. When you say, well, I had cancer and I was like totally healed. You have a doctor's report, you know, the doubters. You have a doctor, it's all documented here. It's a mirror. Well, and they'll figure, well, I don't think, the doctor may have been wrong. No, God has established a testimony in you. And that's what people are afraid of. They're afraid, well, if I do that, I'm going to change. Well, what have they got going for them now? What does this life promise them? It promised them that they will die. That's all it promises. God promises eternal life. Amen. Meditate on his word, not the word of the devil. God's good. God is life. God is powerful. And he established his word forever at that cross. Justice was settled, and he did it for you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto it was sent. So that when we do your word, Father, we know we're doing what pleases you. We know we're partnering with you. We're walking in step with you. We are agreeing. We're establishing an agreement in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your word, your precious word. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord, I'm going to give you that opportunity to pray this simple prayer with me. If Jesus is not your Lord, but you want him to be, pray this prayer and mean it. Say this, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that the cost was totally paid. My debt was totally paid. I receive the forgiveness of my sins through the blood of Jesus. And I put my faith in the redemption that your blood bought for me. I declare with my mouth, I am forgiven. I am saved, and I am now a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, please come up. We've seen miracles happen up here. If you would like prayer for anything else, please come up, and our altar ministers will address that with you.